my reading this morning is from John 3, verses 1 to 21, and in the Church Bibles, that's on page 1065. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth and comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen what they have done, has been done in the sight of God." Thank you.
Our theme this morning, taken from John chapter 3, is to be born again. Advent, the time that we are in, is a time of preparation, as we all know, a time of getting oneself in the right frame of mind to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, born to be the Shepherd King. So as we take stock of our own lives and look back over the last 12 months from where we were this time last year, in regards to our own personal journey and our own personal walk, how far have we come over these last 12 months? What spiritual progress have we made as individual people? And what sort of progress have we made as a church corporately? Have we pitched it just about right? Are we stronger spiritually as a person? Have we fallen back some, or have some of us just stood still and no further on probably in our spiritual walk than we were 12 months ago? With that in mind, I would like to share with you now this chapter found in John chapter 3. To be born again. What does this really mean to each individual person in the church? So let's explore this text together, and let's explore it through the character of Nicodemus himself, and get to grips with this understanding of this teaching to be born again. Nicodemus is a holy man, he's a Pharisee, and he leads holy men of God. His name appears on the elite list of the Torah scholars. Nicodemus is dedicated to the Levitical law and occupies one of the 71 seats of the Judean Supreme Court. They don't come any higher than Nicodemus in those days. He has credentials, letters after his name. He has clout, but he also has now many, many questions to answer. Questions to ask this new kid on the block that comes from Nazareth. This young man's name is Jesus. He is a crowd stopper. Jesus, this new kid who sits on the mountainside and teaches the people, teaches the commoners, and they flock in their hundreds to listen and to hear what he has to say. He teaches these men and women in the streets who come from the villages. Jesus, this man, he has time for the commoners. He has time for those who are sinners and consider sinners. He has time for the tax collectors. He has time for the fallen. He has time for those who are suffering with leprosy. But he has little time. He has little time for the Pharisees. He forgives people for their sins. He frees people from their demons. He even clears and sweeps out the temple of the moneylenders and all those who obstruct the word of God. This man from Nazareth wins no favors from the ruling classes. They look down upon him. They are concerned about him. But Nicodemus, this man of God, this learned man of the Old Testament writings, there's nothing that he doesn't know about the Old Testament. There's nothing that he doesn't know about Moses, Elijah, and David, who was king. He knows it all. He is so learned. And yet he yearns to meet Jesus face to face. But he can't, because if he does, he will fall foul of the ruling classes and his contemporaries. They would never forgive him. It would be costly for him to be seen, to be talking to Jesus. At the end of this particular day, he goes home and sits on the second floor of his house, sipping olive tea, watching the sunset, biding his time for the darkness to fall, the disappearing sunlight upon the streets and upon the orange slate roofs. Nicodemus looks across. This is the place he knows so well. He walked the courtyard in the temple this morning, and he will walk the courtyard in the temple tomorrow morning. He will meet up with other religious leaders and do what these religious leaders always do, discuss God, discuss how to reach God, discuss how to please God, appeasing God. God, God, God. These Pharisees, they do God. And Nicodemus is very much a part of this. But Nicodemus asks himself, as Jesus talks and teaches a different level about God and the kingdom than we Pharisees have ever done. I have to meet up with this young man. I've got to meet up with him. I've lost my inner peace. I don't know actually what's happening to me. I thought I understood all there was to understand about God. But now, I know I don't know what I should know. I've got to see him. I've got to meet up with him. I have already found out where he is staying. Darkness has fallen. Nicodemus puts on his cloak, pulls a hood over his head. He goes out into the night. He walks through the streets, keeping into the shadows so nobody will recognize him. Goes through the cobble streets that wind round the city. He comes to the door of the house where Jesus is staying. Nicodemus knocks. A scruffy disciple comes and opens the door. Nicodemus walks in. There is Jesus sitting down with this motley crew. This crew of shepherds, fishermen, tax collectors, dock workers. None of them are smartly dressed as Nicodemus. None of them look as smart or as wealthy as Nicodemus. Jesus beckons Nicodemus to sit down. No niceties are recorded in this text in John chapter 3 between the two men. It seems that no drinks were offered, no bread or food was offered. Nicodemus speaks first directly to Jesus himself in this most famous conversation recorded in Scripture, the most famous conversation of all, found in John chapter 3. He now refers to Jesus as Rabbi, straight to the point. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. This holy man of the ruling class acknowledges Jesus' credentials. He calls him teacher, and he calls him a man of God. For no one could perform the miracle signs you are doing if God was not with him, if God had not touched his life. This man is doing more beyond than ever we have done as Pharisees. Can you imagine that holy man of God, of the ruling class, now refers to Jesus, this man that sits on a mountainside and teaches, as a man of God? Nicodemus has done his homework. Your work, teacher, impresses me. It impresses him, a Pharisee, the man at the top of his tree. He now says to Jesus, you impress me. Nicodemus now expects a kind word from Jesus himself. Jesus may well have said, I don't know, but I know of you, Nicodemus. But no friendly chit-chat takes place. Know, how are you doing? How is your family? Nice to see you. Jesus goes straight to the jugular vein and issues a proclamation to him and to all of us. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What a divide now between these two men. Nicodemus stands on one side with all of his qualifications, and Jesus on the other pulls no punches about their difference. Jesus never went to university, never went to college, basically self-taught. Nicodemus has letters after his name. Nicodemus is from the stable, a land of good gestures, good efforts, good works, sincere hard work. Give God your best, and God does the rest. Job done. Jesus says, no way. Your best won't do. Works don't count. Works will not get you into the kingdom of God. Works is a long way from where you're thinking, Nicodemus. Unless you are born again, you can't even begin to see what God is up to. Unless you are born again. What a statement to be said to this learned man, this high-powered man, Nicodemus. How many of you here this morning acknowledge that you are born again? How many, if any, are like Nicodemus, thinking your good works will guarantee your place in the kingdom of God? Good works will not guarantee you the kingdom of God. How many are assured of their inheritance? That's a loaded statement. That is a real loaded statement. How many of you, how many of us have actually asked God in Jesus' name, what must I actually do to enter the kingdom of God and have eternal life guaranteed? Lord, personally by our own efforts, to guarantee my inheritance in entering the kingdom of God. How many, any of us may have hesitated. How many have to ask the same question as Nicodemus? But Nicodemus hesitates. And he hesitates on behalf of us all. Born again? What sort of language is that? Born again? How can a man be born when he is old? In verse 4. We can't just start all over again and be born again. But wouldn't we all, if we were honest with ourselves, and perhaps start all over again, rewind the tape and try again, mend broken hearts, missed opportunities, things we said that we wish we hadn't have said, things we have done we wish we wouldn't have done. Oh, if we could only rewind the tape and start all over again. Nicodemus scratches his head. I've never heard anything like this. I've never heard anybody speak to me like this before. But Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 5. At this time, the wind blows through the partial open door of where they are sitting. A few leaves blow in. Jesus picks up a leaf off the floor. God's power works like the wind that blows the leaves, Jesus explains. The Spirit blows like the wind when you least expect it. Newborn hearts are born of heaven. You can't wish, you can't earn, or you cannot create. But now with inconceivable, God handles the task from start to finish. But you, the person, like Nicodemus, has to ask for it and ask the question, what must I do? And I want to read out to you John chapter 14. John chapter 14, reading from verse 1 to 7. And this is what it says. John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the place to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If any one of you here this morning is not assured of your inheritance to the kingdom of God and acknowledge Jesus as the only way to the kingdom, put yourself in Nicodemus's. Nicodemus was not assured of his either. How can this be? Nicodemus asked in verse 9. Jesus replies, you are one of Israel's teachers, and you're telling me you don't understand these things. This was a man steeped in the Old Testament scriptures, and he didn't understand what Jesus was saying. I tell you the truth. Verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. That anyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Cross-reference that with John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To be born again is an act of confession and personal invitation by the person who invites Jesus Christ into his or her heart. Nobody else can do that for us. It has to come personally from the person. Throughout my ministry, and it's many years now, I have met people in the church who have gone to church all their lives. There was one woman who said to me, towards the end of my ministry, I have been coming to this church since I was 3 years old. I'm now in my 80s. And I have never heard the importance of being born again. Will you, Vernon, as my minister, baptize me that I may come and be guaranteed of my inheritance in the kingdom of God? We hired the local Baptist church, and there we baptized elderly lady, one who's been going to church all her life. Like Nicodemus, she realized what she needed to do. So many people I found in church over the years don't necessarily understand the importance of John chapter 3, being born again, let alone understanding the importance of John chapter 14. Jesus is the way, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The thought of being born again for such a man as Nicodemus, a man steeped in scripture, but lacking the importance and the understanding what Jesus had taught him in verse 9. But Jesus, this wonderful person, leads Nicodemus to the hope, the diamond of all diamonds in the Bible, found in the Gospel of John. This is the greatest treasure in the whole of Scripture, John chapter 3. This is the pearl. This is the beauty of the Word of God. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A 26th word of love, power and hope, beginning with God and ending with a guarantee of eternal life. Brief enough to write on a postcard, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms, questions and doubts. If anyone knows nothing of the Bible, that person must always start, when he or she reads the Bible for the first time, always start from John's Gospel. Never start from Genesis and work your way through, because you'll just dry up. Always start in John's Gospel, which will teach you the love, the grace, the divinity, the power of this teacher, this rabbi. It's the greatest gospel of all four gospels. It's the greatest book in the entire Bible. It is the diamond. It is the pearl. I implore you to read it again and allow it to sink into your heart, into the epicenter of your heart. Read it again. It tells you everything you need to know about Christ himself. I implore you all to start again. The heart of the human problem is the hardness of one's heart. He loves, he gave, we believe, we live. The words of Scripture found in John's Gospel, chapter 3, is what the Mississippi River is to America, an entry into the heartlands of the realms of glory. Believe or dismiss them, embrace John's writings or reject them. Would a British historian dismiss the Magna Carta? Would an Egyptologist overlook the Rosetta Stone? Could any one of us ponder the words of Christ in John's Gospel and never immerse oneself in John chapter 3, the diamond of all diamonds in the Bible? John 3, the alphabet of grace, love and hope. Each word, like a jewel found in a box. Read it again and again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If any one of you feel uncomfortable by what I have said this morning, I make no apologies for that, because I believe what was given to me by God to share with you this morning. And I take my leave from our dear minister, that was Michael. Sunday after Sunday, he would stand where I am standing, and at the end of the service, he would say, as you will remember, if any one of you have not made that commitment yet to be born again, you can do that this morning. Michael, I believe, just knew. He knew, because he knew his pastorate, he knew his membership, and he knew that there were one or two that needed to confess and to come forward. Please do not be afraid or concerned. Come to me after the service, and I will consider it a privilege to come alongside you, to pray with you, and bring you to that point where Nicodemus came himself, and assure you of your inheritance. Failing that, contact me if you wish. Want to keep it completely privately. I will meet you during the day. I will meet with you at night and come alongside and receive this wonderful blessing that Nicodemus did all those years ago, and have Jesus in your heart. That is my promise to you, and I leave that word with you in Jesus' name, this wonderful word found in John's Gospel. Amen. We're going to come to a time of prayer now and pray for so many things to pray for, and let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, I do truly thank you for your wonderful word, your awesome power, for the way it speaks to us. I thank you, Lord God, for this jewel in the crown found in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus, that most learned man, was confronted by Jesus and was told what he had to do to enter the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to each and every one of us this morning. Even if we have done that many years ago, maybe we've got tired or stale and need to reconfess and re-need to say those words, Lord Jesus Christ, come into the epicenter of my heart. Forgive me for my sins and take me on that I may be guaranteed of your inheritance. So touch each and every one of our lives here this morning. And for all those who can't be with us this morning for whatever reason, touch us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Awaken in us, Lord God, that sleep. Awaken in us the importance of understanding more fully of what it means to follow you. Help us to understand more fully, Lord God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. May that resonate, Lord God, within our thoughts, within our daily lives, and may we never lose sight of what your word says to us and how important that is. But may we, above all else, Lord God, know your peace, your love, and your grace this Christmas time. And so we